Remaker's Mark, Episode 22, Three Amigos. Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Remaker's Mark. Here we are again with Episode 22, and we are discussing the 1986 American Western comedy film Three Amigos. With me, as always, are my friends Andy Wicks. Andy, how are you doing tonight, and do you prefer cerveza or tequila?
I am well, thank you, and I would prefer cerveza.
Cerveza, good. I think that's the traditional speaking way, language type thing.
Andy is reading his cue card wrong.
Yes. My accent mark was on the wrong syllable.
Ooh. What's up, Mike Myers? Jeremy Nielsen, how are you doing? And do you prefer cerveza or tequila?
I am also doing quite well, and I prefer tequila, tequila, tequila.
Nailed it.
Thanks.
Lee Headshot, how are you doing tonight? And cerveza or tequila for you?
I'm swell, and probably tequila.
Interesting. Mark Josting, how about you? How are you doing? And cerveza or tequila for you?
I'm well, thanks. And me gusta cerveza y tequila.
Muy bien. That's my favorite answer.
Mm-hmm. Mark is an alcoholic.
Right. And we love him for it. My name is Kyle De La Hunt. I will be your host again here tonight on Remakers Mark. And I'm going to go with Mark. I prefer both. Los dos. D, all of the above. C. C meaning yes, not the multiple choice selection. C. Anywho, good to have you guys here. I'm excited about this.
That's the end of our Spanish.
Well, for
please
now,
we'll say it's the end of our Spanish.
I think it is the end of our Spanish.
Thank you.
We shall see. So before we move on to our discussion of Three Amigos, I want to thank our friends at Modern Antics for their promotional consideration.
Modern Antics produces and markets hugely interesting events in bars and other cool places. New from Modern Antics, Riddle Room. Riddle Room is a live puzzle game unlike anything you've ever experienced. 12 people are locked in the bunker, and they have 1 hour to solve a series of increasingly difficult challenges before the clock runs out. Tickets are available for May events right now. Interested in other Modern Antics events? Check them out at modernantics.com or on Facebook and Twitter at Modern Antics.
All right. Thanks again to Modern Antics. Now let's move on to our summary and history of the movie Three Amigos. Andy, do you want to help us out with that?
I would love to. As Kyle said earlier, Three Amigos is a 1986 American Western comedy film directed by John Landis, written by Lorne Michaels, Steve Martin, and Randy Newman. That's right, Randy Newman. Loosely, and I mean very loosely, based on Akira Kurosawa. On his 1954 film, Seven Samurai, Steve Martin, Chevy Chase, and Martin Short star as the titular Three Amigos, silent film stars who are mistaken for real heroes by a small Mexican village and must find a way to live up to that reputation. My history and opinion on this movie is well documented. It is, in my opinion, untouchable. Yet here we are, touching it with our filthy, filthy fingers.
Indeed we are.
But no, I absolutely love this movie. I think it is one of the best comedies ever made.
Agreed.
There you go.
Better than
Calls
Clue?
Calls him like he sees him.
Man, Clue is a good one. Clue is a very, very good one. But this one just...
Same year, too, I think.
I thought Clue was a little earlier.
Is that 84, maybe?
Yeah,
85? Oh, yeah. 85.
Yeah. Regardless, it's right in that sweet spot of kind of mid-80s comedy when, man, the comedy machine crapped out solid gold eggs for a while. But yeah, this one, I don't know, it hits my particular sense of humor right in the sweet spot every time. So I love it. I love it. All right. Well, there's that discussion. Thank you for listening to our talk about Three Amigos.
And goodbye.
Does anybody else want to say anything about the movie?
You know, Andy, there's this thing called a transitionary statement. Hey. Where you say something that sort of leads someone into saying something else.
Listen up, host. I think that's your job.
You're the summary and history guy.
Oh, I didn't realize that was my duty also. I have said how much I love this movie. Lee, how much do you love this movie?
I love this movie.
That's great. Yeah. Right, perfect.
I love this movie very much. My earliest recollection of it is going to see it in the theater in my hometown, and I met up with a couple of friends, one of them whom I hadn't seen in a long time, like probably a couple of years. And so we were talking through the first part of it, and somebody had to tap us on the shoulder and tell us to shut up. So I missed parts of the first maybe half an hour.
You were that guy, huh?
Yeah.
He was just totally once, that guy.
Man. Just once. I learned my lesson.
Bad form, but what can you do? You're a kid.
Yeah.
Darn kids.
But I still enjoyed the movie thoroughly.
It's just that poor audience member didn't.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Jer also has a story to go with this, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I'll keep it brief. As a kid living out in the country, we didn't have access to many movies or movie theaters or anything like that. So my movie-going experiences were few and far between. However, right around the mid-80s, when the video cassette recorder, or VCR, became more of a household item, my neighbor and good friend Ryan got one, or his family did, and he had me over for my very first sleepover at another kid's house, and we played with the He-Men and watched The Three Amigos and ate pizza.
That's an all-time nice. Great night right there.
I still remember it, so yeah, it's got to be up there for one of the best days of my whole entire life.
Nice. That speaks volumes right there.
So I'll thank The Three Amigos for their contribution to the best night ever.
Yeah, heck yeah. I'm sure they very much appreciate that. All right, so now, as usual, in part one, we're going to talk about how we would recast the film. So we have three major roles and five minor roles that we're going to discuss. The first major role is that of Dusty. Mark, tell us about Dusty.
Okay. Dusty Bottoms may be the most bumbling and oblivious of the three amigos, yet he is smooth with the ladies and displays remarkable talent for piano, guitar, and shooting invisible swordsmen.
Dusty.
And I call work that fellow. Great! You killed the invisible swordsman!
He's dead, all right.
How was I supposed to know where he was? You were supposed to fire up. We both fired up. It's like living with a 6-year-old.
I really wanted to keep the silliness going in our remake of this film, because that is my favorite aspect of the original film. And personally found it very, very hard to recast this film. But I think I got a good solid Dusty in Bill Hader.
Nice.
Thank you. Yes.
Nice.
We know Bill Hader mostly from Saturday Night Live, but he's got, like many current SNL people, he's kind of been all over the place and has got his own leading roles, like in the Cloudy with a Chance of Meatball animated films. But also, I should also point out that he's a writer on South Park.
Huh, really? I didn't know that.
I didn't know that for a long time either.
I didn't either.
Yeah. Anyway, so such is my choice for recasting Dusty Bottoms as Bill Hader.
I like it. Appropriately clueless, but still fun.
Agreed.
I could see him having that... Well, they all of the original amigos kind of had this, but I can see Bill Hader demonstrating that bumbling, inappropriate self-confidence.
Yes,
that's a very good way to put it. Thanks. I kind of wish I'd thought of that phrase.
You can repeat it, you know, if you want.
I don't remember it honestly, so okay. Let's just move on.
Nor do I.
There's definitely a goofy sincerity to the amigos.
Yep. Yes.
Yep. I think when we're talking about, or in previous episodes, we've talked about like the one line or the one scene that we sort of hone in on for a particular character. For Dusty, it's the scene after they sort of save the day the first time and they're celebrating at night. And the woman is you know, sitting next to him and coming on to him and he's playing the guitar. She said, I want you to kiss me. And he says, oh, yeah. And she says, well, how about on the veranda? And he says, well, I thought the lips would be fine. just a great, great line. And just the way he delivers that, just so cluelessly, but yet sort of informed at the same time. I love that. I just, every actor I thought of was repeating that line. I think I kind of butchered it, but you get the idea.
And the prior to that when he was singing the flamenco song.
Oh, man. One of my favorite moments of the movie.
I pictured the scene where he's trying to eat the food when they first welcome the amigos into town. And, yeah, he asks if they have anything aside from Mexican food. I really like that scene for Bill Hader.
Yeah, I could totally see that.
Let's move on to Andy right now.
Here I am, said Andy. One of the main things that stuck out to me about Chevy Chase in this role was his physical presence compared to Steve Martin and Martin Short, which I know is a little bit arbitrary, but Chevy Chase was much taller than the other two amigos. And I think that lends something to his character, whether it was intentional or not. So my mind kind of automatically went to tall actors that I thought could do this. And I came up with Jason Segel. He is on the taller sort. Thank you. But I also see Jason Segel filling a lot of the shoes of Chevy Chase's original portrayal, kind of almost like a gentle giant a little bit. You know, we were talking a little earlier about picturing these different scenes and imagining how our actors would do this. The one that came to mind for me was the water canteen scene in the desert. and just picturing Jason Segel, gushing the water all over his face and spitting it out and tossing the nearly full canteen on the dry, dusty desert. That was what came up for me. And my own umbrage against myself in this was that a lot of the roles, when I think of Jason Segel, I think of either How I Met Your Mother, which is probably maybe a good comparison, although I don't really like that show. But a lot of the other roles that I've seen him in, he has a kind of a sad edge to his character. Like, is it My Brother Jeff Who Lives at Home?
It's Jeff Who Lives at Home.
Jeff Who Lives at Home, which is a fantastic movie. But there's definitely a melancholy to his character. I think part of it is just the way his face kind of is. He just has that, he kind of looks like he's a little bit sad.
He's a little bit more sleepy eyed.
Maybe that's it.
Maybe a good reference for this role would be, Jason Segel in, I Love You, Man, where his character is more confident.
I haven't seen that, but I think from pictures that I've seen, that would be right. So anyway, Jason Segel is the one that I picked, for Doosty Bootums.
Nice. I could see the,
nice
his role.
Thank you.
His role in, the Muppets, the recent,
that was another one that I was thinking
reboot
of
reboot to that series, yep. I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, but I think he's, he definitely has comedic chops and, could, I think, inhabit the right personality for this character easily. Lee, where are you, Lee?
I'm here.
It is your turn.
All right. Well, for Dusty, the thing that stuck out to me about this character is how he's in such contrast to the other two, in that he seems a little disinterested at times and almost bordering on vacant.
Yes, that's a good description.
Yeah, and I think it offsets the other two characters, who are very animated and very vocal. So I wanted to find someone who could do that, is maybe not as well known for that type of role, but I think could do it. And I picked Joel McHale.
Ooh. Nice.
Just because of the, Community, of course, but like other roles that I've seen him in, he always seems to play that sort of, disinterested, or I don't know if it's like self-confidence that comes from, but, I picture him in this role. He's, of course he's got the height, if we're going for physical appearance, that sort of thing. But,
I believe it has been established that height is very important.
Yes, it is. So, yeah.
We'll see about that.
I like Joel McHale for this one.
I like that pick a lot.
Thanks.
Yeah, it's good.
Thank you.
I dig it.
So that brings us to Jer.
Yes, it does. For me, Dusty is kind of he seemed to be sort of the ladies' man of the group, although they all sort of had their moment. But I didn't want that to be kind of the focal point of the character. I wanted him to be kind of what you guys said, where he's a little bit more bumbling than the other two, a little bit more of the physical comedy goofball antics. And I think a lot of that just came from who Chevy Chase is. And he did a lot of very Chevy Chase-y things in the movie. But I kind of wanted that role to be kind of the sort of the sidekick, but on an equal plane with the other two characters, but to feel more sidekicky. So I went with Nick Frost.
Nice.
Who we may know from the Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, The World's End trilogy, opposite Simon Pegg. He's the drinking buddy sidekick in those movies. I think he's hilarious on his own, and I think he's got a wonderfully gifted physical comic style, kind of similar to what Chris Farley had in the day, where his agility didn't match his body type.
That's a good way to put it.
And so I picked him because I think that he would do a lot of great physical things with the role and be kind of the role that's a little bit aloof, a little bit not quite completely invested into what they're doing. So I think that he would sell it.
Jer, I can't help but notice that you picked a British actor.
I did pick a British actor. They did have those.
They were around in those days?
Sorry, I forgot about England. Sorry, guys.
Yep.
As long as you didn't forget about Dre, we're fine.
Yes, and I did that. Initially, I picked it, and you probably will come to find out that I've picked more than one British actor, if you're listening by the time we get to the other picks. And I did that initially thinking that I might change the setting. But the more that I thought about it, the more that I thought it would be even funnier if it was British actors from the silver screen who were cowboys.
Who were silent film actors?
Because it was silent. They were silent film actors.
Oh, that's genius.
So it doesn't matter that they're not, they have no idea what the Old West really was or anything, or, you know, they're actors. So it's going to be the same fish out of water regardless.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Good call.
That's well played.
So, yes.
He has a movie coming out called Cuban Fury. I'm not sure if anybody's seen the trailer for it, but it's him, Chris O'Dowd, and Rashida Jones. And he basically wants to win Rashida Jones by salsa dancing. And he was a salsa dancer as a kid, but then kind of had his heart broken and so didn't go back into it. But it's, again, sort of dealing with the agility of a big man that does not move like a big man. So
big man
dancing. Pretty good. The trailer looks pretty great.
Fantastic. Kyle, who was your pick?
Well, I wanted somebody that was different than the other two and noticeably different in almost every way. I wanted somebody that had sort of that bumbling sense, but I wanted somebody that didn't feel like it was a pratfall kind of thing. I wanted somebody that was a little bit bigger, a little bit stockier, as opposed to the other two actors that I picked that are both pretty, pretty skinny. And I think in line with kind of how the original cast went. When I say who it is, you'll see how I mean, but I wanted somebody that was visually different in almost every way. So I went with Reggie Watts for the role of Dustin.
Oh, nice.
I thought about him too.
Yeah, Reggie Watts is a musician and comedian. He is one of the most gifted improv musician. I don't even know how to describe him. He makes amazing music of his own creation all at once. So he creates a beat and lays down music behind it and then does improv kind of nonsensical, is said in a demeaning way, and I don't mean for it to, but he just, like, he'll write a song about Dungeons and Dragons on the spot that he didn't think of at all beforehand. Like, it's just amazing.
He uses effects pedals to loop what he does.
Yeah.
And then he just layers it. So, yeah.
Yep. And he is he's not a huge guy. He's a big guy, an African-American gentleman. He's got a substantial Afro. So I, you know, I can almost see panning from left to right of the amigos on the horses and just the reveal of him on that horse. Like I'm dying. I'm just thinking about how that could work. And wow. I think he's sweet and, you know, he has a lot of sweetness to him. I think he's really funny and really talented. He's got a great smile and I think he could kind of be that ladies' man. But man, just like the scene where they're trying to climb up the wall and he kind of can't quite make it and just stuff like that. Oh man. Yeah. So Reggie Watts is who I went with
for
Dusty.
That's awesome.
He's so great on Comedy Bang Bang.
Yeah. Yep.
I thought about going a similar direction and my only issue was, and one of my friends who we'll talk about later when we go through some of the feedback from other people posted, I think Eddie Murphy or somebody like that. And I was thinking about it. Were there any African American actors in the silent film era?
L. Jolson doesn't count, right?
No. Ouch. No, he does not.
Yeah. No.
No.
So it would sort of be a little bit of an alternate reality take.
Yeah.
Which could be funny in its own right. It
could just be in a different time.
The fact that he's there is just absurd in its own right. But
yep. Well, I would love for them to not acknowledge it at all, just as if it was the most plain, normal, everyday thing in the world that he was there. I just think that would be fantastic.
And that this guy with this giant afro is selling movies as a silent film cowboy actor.
Uh-huh.
And the world loves it.
Yep. Yep.
You can't tell where his fro ends and his beard begins.
Yeah, it's true. It's just sort of one super hair thing. It's fantastic. Man, I love him. I saw him at Wits with Andy Richter. It's a local show in St. Paul. And man, he was awesome.
I wish I would have seen that.
Yeah, it was tremendous. I hadn't heard of him before and I just completely had my mind blown. So yeah. Yep. All right. So in the role of Dusty, originally played by Chevy Chase, Mark went with Bill Hader, Andy went with Jason Segel, Lee went with Joel McHale, Jer went with Nick Frost, and I went with Reggie Watts. Up next is Lucky. Andy, tell us about Lucky.
Lucky Day is the de facto leader of the Amigos. What he lacks in grammatical skill, he makes up for in bird calls and lasso tricks. He is also an avid political theorist with lots of ideas on how to revolutionize Mexico. This is a tough one for me. There's a lot of actors going around in my mind that I thought would be interesting representations and interpretations of this one. And the one that I picked, I really think would do a fantastic job. I'm a little bit disappointed in myself simply because I've chosen him before for another one of these kind of leader of the comedy troupe roles, but he just seems to fit the bill for me. I chose Ryan Reynolds.
Of course you did.
Yes.
That's a good pick.
It is a good pick. He's a pretty natural choice for that.
Thank you. And it lacks a little bit of originality on my part. But I've said it before. Listen to our Ghostbusters episode. He has, I think, the self-confidence in spades, whether it's appropriate or inappropriate. And I think he's got I'm kind of picturing the scene when they're watching the silent movie in the church in that little village, and you see the three actors in the like silent movie lead-based makeup that they're wearing, and picturing Ryan Reynolds in that, like, you know, pomade just like coating his hair and little, you know, like essentially like dark red or black lips, you know, doing a big cheesy smile into the camera. It made me laugh. So there you go, Ryan Reynolds. Thanks for the encouragement, guys. It really means a lot. Kyle.
Andy, I like your pick.
Thank you. Be more original.
All right. I will definitely be more original. Lee, you made a comment about my Reggie Watts pick about how hilarious he is on Comedy Bang Bang.
I did.
And that show informed all of my picks today.
Nice.
And so for the role of Lucky, I went with Scott Aukerman.
I knew it.
The host of Comedy Bang Bang.
I was wondering if one of us was going to do that.
I knew it.
He is he's a very gifted improv comedian. So he hosts a podcast and a TV show called Comedy Bang Bang. And on the podcast, he goes all over the place in a great way. But I didn't realize quite what presence he had until I saw the TV show. And he kind of plays the foil, like the straight man a little bit. I mean, he can do pretty weird stuff on there. But Lee and I, again, going back to Wits, Lee and I went to a Wits where it was him and Eugene Merman and Kathleen Edwards. And he just absolutely blew me away with how fast he was and just how on he was with his comedy and how like he was very vocal. He was, you know, he was like, he had a great presence. And I think that he can be very stoic, but I think when he needs to, you know, I'm just thinking of like the dancing scenes, like that kind of stuff. I think if we were to have that in the remake, I think he could do that splendidly. But he, in, you know, just in his straight face, it's kind of stoic, but uncertain at the same time. I'd kind of capturing a lot of those elements that, that Steve Martin has in his face. So yeah, Scott Aukerman is who I went with.
Love it.
And I think that one of the things that makes the original work so well that you would bring with that pairing is the just the natural chemistry that Chevy Chase, Martin Short, and Steve Martin had in the original. And I think Aukerman and Reggie Watts obviously already have that, and it would lend itself well to the back and forth banter that is such the crux of this movie.
Yep, absolutely.
I think he's got the 80s handsome quality to make him believable as a leading man, but also sell the comedy really well. Where I think that's where he's almost better than Ryan Reynolds, and that Reynolds is so dashingly handsome that the comedy may be, you know, would be a little harder.
He'd have to prove it a little bit
more. Yeah, little bit, even though we all know Ryan Reynolds is a very funny guy, but like, Aukerman, he hits that sweet spot of, yeah, he's kind of a good looking guy, but still can really pull a goofy face.
Yep.
I can easily picture him in this role.
I'm still voting for Reynolds, nice, though.
I actually thought enough about Scott Aukerman for Dusty.
Yeah, I could see that too.
I was going to say, I think that I would put him there if it came down to it.
Interesting. Well, I didn't.
I think a lot of actors could go in either direction for those two roles.
Yeah.
Between Dusty and Lucky. I think Ned's a different animal, but those two could almost be interchangeable.
Agreed. Jer, how about you? Who did you pick for Lucky?
Well, similar to you, who had a duo and decided to fill both roles, I went the same way. And with Nick Frost as my Dusty, I went with Simon Pegg as my Lucky.
It's only natural.
It just makes sense, and I didn't cast either one of them independently. I thought of them together, and thought that would work. The two of them believing that they're or as actors in a village that believe that they were cowboys, and having to deal with the fact that suddenly they're faced with the reality of being shot at. And Simon Pegg could, I think that a combination of his character from Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, and The World's End, whatever that one was called.
The World's End.
Combining all the characters from all three of those, I think would create a perfect Lucky who is sincere, a little bit dashing, a little bit terrified, and just ultimately very hilarious.
Why not throw a little Scotty in there just for fun?
Yeah, I was just going to say that. Yep. I like it. That's awesome. I love those two. I'll watch anything that they do.
So that is my pick. And Lee, who did you pick?
Well, I wanted to pick someone who I thought was Steve Martin's natural successor in terms of being a physical comedian, particularly in the scene where he's in the jail and he's chained up to the weights. And he's constantly trying to pull forward and get to the lever. And I thought that was, you know, a scene that I'm pretty sure was written just for Steve Martin. And nobody else in mind. So I went with Jim Carrey.
Nice.
Again,
that is the perfect description for him as far as the successor. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, so much of what Jim Carrey did earlier on in his career reminded me of Steve Martin in The Jerk.
Yep.
Huh,
you know?
Okay.
Yeah, nice.
And I mean, I thought of that, like, you know, even back in the 90s when I saw Dumb and Dumber, I was like, wow, he's really like, maybe he really likes Steve Martin. I don't know.
They're both very rubbery in the best way.
Yeah.
Yep.
And they both, you know, can do that to really good effect without it being, you know, too much at times. But yeah, so I thought Jim Carrey was a good fit for this one.
That's awesome. I like that. And I could see him being a leader too. I think he can put on that good face of leadership and people would follow him. Yep.
My umbrage with that is slight, only because he's a little old, I think, for what the role probably originally cast. Or, you know,
but Steve Martin looked 50 in the original.
He looked 50 since he was like 25. But I'm not saying. I mean, we've talked about Jim Carrey's rubbery face. So I'm sure it could be molded into some semblance of youth.
Yeah, I think so.
Just don't no close up shots.
Yeah,
only wide shots.
Only wide shots.
We'll just put a diffuser on the lens for this shot.
some Vaseline.
Yep. That's all you need. Yeah,
I could see him in the few different sort of monologues that Steve Martin did, where he to Harry Flugelman when he was explaining that they needed a raise, the no dough, no show, that one, and then, when he was kind of inspiring the other two amigos to actually go to Mexico and go and do this show to get 100,000 pesos, and I could see Jim Carrey doing well and being very expressive in those two.
Oh, imagine him in the Invisible Swordsman scene. Yeah, him doing the little chant in the Invisible Swordsman scene would be great.
Yeah, I'd love to see him, you know, trying to communicate with the singing bush.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes, indeed.
So, Mark, wrap us up here.
Okay.
With Lucky, anyway.
Yes. I was mostly looking for that leadership quality that that Lucky has, and that in mind, I arrived at Jason Sudeikis as my pick.
Nice.
Very cool.
Yeah, I think he's kind of a rarity in comedy, where he's a guy that's upright and can do heroic and is athletic. And
that's a good point.
Yeah, I mean, of all the other guys we've mentioned today, maybe only Joel McHale would also fit that description.
Hmm.
And so
I briefly considered him too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, I just picture him naturally in front of a group of fake cowboys. That's where I was with Jason Sudeikis.
Yeah. I
can't argue with that.
I love him in everything that I've seen him in. Even his little bit parts in a lot of these other comedies that are around, and his one-off in Always Sunny in Philadelphia, and a couple of the other shows that he sort of appears on for an episode or two, or just a cameo in movies. Like he always brings such great energy to a role, and just I think he would bring the same type of sincerity that the original Amigos had.
I totally agree.
Yeah, that's a great description. I like that. All right, so for the role of Lucky, originally played by Steve Martin, Andy went with Ryan Reynolds, I went with Scott Aukerman, Jer went with Simon Pegg, Lee went with Jim Carrey, and Mark went with Jason Sudeikis. Now for the last of the majors, we've got Ned. Jer, tell us about Ned.
Yes, Ned Niederlander, not to be confused with the Minnesota Wild Nino Niederreiter, he brings a childlike joy and optimism to the Amigos adventure. He has been acting since he was a small boy and starred in many movies as Little Neddy. He is an accomplished gunfighter, and he has never, ever used camera tricks. In the little family of the three amigos, Ned is definitely the child. He gets sort of put to sleep by the lullaby in the scene when they're out in the desert, and kind of has to have things explained to him in a few different scenes. Does have from the mail plane scene, he does have sort of a childlike sense of humor.
What is that?
It's a plane.
Not just any plane. It's a Tubman 601.
I flew one and Little Nettie goes to war.
What's it doing here?
I think it's a mail plane.
How can you tell?
Well, didn't you notice its little balls?
Although it turns out all of them do. So I was trying to think of somebody that would kind of embody a little bit of a sense of that same innocence, but kind of take that back a little bit. And I always felt in the Three Amigos that he was the most minor amigo, and I would like to get it more on an equal footing of the three of them.
Yeah.
And so I was trying to kind of ramp up that character a little bit, keeping him as the same, like, coddled actor since he was a boy, and this is the only life he knows. It just he's used to Hollywood. He's used to being the stage and screen star. And so when he gets out into the desert and the German challenges him, that's kind of a slap in the face and more of an affront. And he needs to prove himself because he is Little Nettie and he is Ned Niederlander. And so I wanted somebody that was going to be kind of a little bit more snotty about it, but still kind of have that sort of childlike quality because he hasn't really been in the real world before. So in keeping with my British theme, I went with John Oliver, who
that's a good one.
He was on The Daily Show as one of the correspondents. Actually, he still might be. He plays the his roles kind of changed through the series Community, but he's on there from time to time as the guidance counselor, and then he was a teacher for a while, and
a drunk.
And he's been in a few other things. He's getting his own show shortly, or he already has.
Yeah, it's on right now on HBO.
I just think he's a great stand-up comedian. He's got that great British sense of humor. I think that he could at the same time be sort of confused about the real world and also snotty about anybody that doesn't know who he is, because he's a Little Nettie.
There's an episode of the podcast Bullseye. We've talked about that before with Bullseye with Jesse Thorne, where he was interviewed on there. He was the main interview, I think, last week or the last couple of weeks. Really, really good interview. I definitely recommend checking it out. It's great. Good stuff. It's a good pick. The way you describe that, that is the perfect fit for how you describe that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Lee, your pick is?
My pick is someone who has the boyish quality, the boyish charm. That Ned has, and yet is very capable of the comedy needed for this role. So I went with Simon Pegg.
Nice. little repeat.
I guess in my remake, I would have him flatten out and have an American accent. But yeah, I thought he was perfect for this role. I think he was the first one I cast. So
nice.
I thought this was a really good role for him, or it would be.
I love that he's picked for both Lucky and Ned. That speaks to him in a big way. That's great. And I could see both equally well.
If you watch him in his movies, he, like, especially that trilogy of the Hot Fuzz, Shaun of the Dead, World's End, his characters are so drastically different in all three of those movies. And then even Scotty, and then he also did a little independent film, which I cannot remember the name of, but he's a horror writer, and he basically, through his horror writing, becomes basically afraid of everything. Just every role he takes is just so different, but they've got kind of that, he always brings that same heart to the character that you want to like him, you want to root for him, even when he is, you know, kind of even when he's a jerk, even when he's kind of pompous or whatever else, but there's just a genuine quality to him that I think just makes it work for him.
You know what else he was in?
What?
Say it.
Band of Brothers.
There it is.
Oh, that's
I
right.
No, I just guessed.
Like, he wasn't in Sahara.
Say it.
He was in one episode and about 5 minutes of another.
Funny.
So
nice. Bringing it back. Well done.
Yep. So, Kyle, you're up.
All right. So, to complete my comedy bang bang trifecta, I'm going with Paul F. Tompkins in the role of Ned, originally played by Martin Short. Nice. He can do anything, to be honest. I mean, he can truly do any character that he could ever want to do. But I think his persona as himself, I think, would be a really good fit for this. Kind of a little bit naive, like mixing naivety and pomposity. Is that right? Like being naive and pompous at the same time.
That's right.
Having both of those things together. I mean, that's pretty much Paul F. Tompkins in a nutshell in the way that he kind of acts in general. And, you know, I could just see him with that mustache and kind of the bouffant hair a little bit. I just think he would be a perfect fit for that environment. And I just would love to see him on screen. So, yeah, Paul F. Tompkins for old Nettie, little Nettie.
I like it. And he already dresses like he's from the 1920s.
Exactly. True. The wardrobe wouldn't have to change at all. It's nope. True.
he is one of the few actors, comedy actors, that I want to see more of.
Yeah.
There's so many of them that they're getting tired. And he's one that I want to see him in everything.
Yep. He is especially amazing on the Comedy Bang Bang podcast. He seems like he's on all the time. And it's... He does have some repeating characters like Andrew Lloyd Webber and the Cake Boss.
Gary Marshall.
Oh, God. But they all feel original and interesting. And like, it's just every time I'm like, ooh, goody. You know, there's never one that I'm like, okay, whatever. But yeah, I think he's really great.
He's also on Wits quite a bit.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. Yep. I saw him with Ted Leo and Amy Mann in Wits.
Wow. Nice.
Yeah.
God, I got to get to another one of those shows.
Yeah, they're goodies.
Yes.
All right, Mark, on to you. Who did you pick for Ned?
Well, I'm going to preface this one because I think in order to really appreciate it, you're going to have to share in my vision.
And, I like it.
And I'm picturing that that this remake could happen after the Three Amigos have been out of work for a little while.
Hmm.
And so when we see Ned, he might be kind of a wearied and broken Ned. And so my pick for this wearied and broken Ned would be Zach Galifianakis.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
He is wearied and broken, isn't he?
He kind of is, yeah.
Ned's put on a few pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And that, the more beard, the better. Yeah.
I would love to see him and Reggie Watts in the same movie. Oh, man.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. That would be forces to be reckoned with.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And we have seen him on Comedy Bang Bang. And it was fantastic.
Yeah. It's true.
I think that he would come to that character as somebody who believed he still had the juice to be a film star, even though he's far past his prime.
Yeah, I'm kind of... I want to see like the pride is still there, but it's damaged.
The amigos are going to Mexico because they think this is the revival of their career.
Yeah, like they have to do they have to get the band back together, and this is sort of like a, you know, a last shot at glory, that sort of thing.
And since the glory has faded, poor old Ned Galifianakis has seen hard times. Mm-hmm.
Maybe the bottom of a few bottles.
Yeah.
I like it.
I would love to see in the scene where they drink tequila and all kind of do that kind of reaction, to have the two others do that reaction and then have him just absolutely flat, just like nothing of it. that would play so well.
That'd be funny.
So that is my pick for Ned, Zach Galifianakis. Let's move on to Andy.
I'm very proud of this pick. Because we've already spoken of the kind of boyish wonder and just wide-eyed enthusiasm for whatever he's doing. And the first person that came to mind is Wil Wheaton. So nice. I chose Wil Wheaton. If you ever have seen anything that that he does recently, like the thing that I watch probably the most often is a Tabletop, which is a web series he does about board gaming. And, it doesn't matter what he's playing. He is just so happy to be playing board games and just kind of geeking out about whatever he's doing. That to me is kind of the essence of Ned Niederlander. He is just so happy to be doing whatever he's doing. And I think it would be fun to see, singing around the campfire scene, and also the duel, the face-off against the German. The hurt look on his face when he says, I never use trick photography. Like, that just seems, that comes naturally for me when I think of Wil Wheaton, excuse me.
Plus, there would be some great sort of, not inside jokes, but sort of subversive jokes in the fact that he was a child actor.
Exactly.
So there could be some callbacks to...
Like a Stand By Me reference or something like that.
Yeah, Stand By Me, Next Generation, sort of... offhanded callbacks to that, because he basically was little Nettie.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep. You'd be like, I flew a, you know, Star Trek Enterprise back in, okay, maybe, that may be a little on the nose.
I flew an NCC-1701D.
That's the one. So anyway.
I think it's a Tubman 601, by the way.
It is.
There you go. Nice. We can be creative with our writing in that. Yeah, I would be very happy to see him playing a happy character on TV, because I think, aside from Tabletop, which I agree, that is exactly how he comes off there, and it's wonderful and totally addictive, and you just want to hang out with him, which is great. But like the two sort of TV examples that I've seen of him are How I Met Your Mother, where he's kind of like, Big Bang Theory, where he's evil Will Wheaton and then Eureka, where he played kind of he kind of redeemed himself a little bit, but he kind of played like kind of a dick scientist. It'll be nice for him to be like a good guy, like a nice sweet guy. So yeah,
he also has a sizable part in Felicia Day's web series, The Guild. And he's kind of a dick in that one, too.
That's right, yeah. Yep.
And it's funny because Will Wheaton is 42, but, I mean, he looks like he's 25. So, he definitely just he will always have that kind of baby face,
Ralph Macchio syndrome.
Exactly, which will serve him well. It will serve him well in this role. So,
yep.
There you are.
Well, that's an inspired pick.
Thank you.
I like that you went for that.
Thank you.
It is. I agree. I agree. Definitely.
I win.
We'll see. All right. So for the role of Ned, originally played by Martin Short, Jer went with John Oliver. Lee went with Simon Pegg. I went with Paul F. Tompkins. Mark went with Zach Galifianakis. Andy went with Will Wheaton. So that's all of our major characters. Now we're going to tackle five minor characters, the first of which is Flugelman. Jer, tell us about Flugelman.
Harry Flugelman. Producer, Hollywood big shot, loudmouth, and it will be a cold day in hell when he lets an actor tell him what to do. Harry Flugelman is sort of the character that sends the Amigos into their adventure when he fires them from the studio. And he was played by Joe Mantegna in the original, and Joe Mantegna is a great character actor from the 80s and 90s. You would also remember him as the voice of the mobster in The Simpsons, whose name you all are going to tell me because I have lost it.
Fit Tony.
He was a great character actor. He had a very small scene at the beginning of the movie where he played basically an exact replica of every big shot Hollywood producer from the 1920s and teens. That you could picture in your head. And so I was going to go a little bit different route because I was trying to envision this as more of a not starting in Hollywood, but actually going through sort of having them be more into having the producer role send them to Mexico in a more specific way instead of just kicking them out of the studio. And so I went with Luis Guzman.
Guzman.
He, his most recent thing that I've seen him in was his cameo on Community.
Yes.
From several seasons ago, where he came back to his community college and realized what was actually happening there. But he's an enjoyable actor. He can play quite a bit of, quite a wide range of things. And, I would just like to see him as sort of this head cheese in charge and realizing the Amigos are past their prime and him more or less sending them out of Hollywood to sort of the Mexican version of Hollywood, which would be, you know, kind of where he got his start and made his way up to the rich and famous of Hollywood. And essentially, instead of them getting fired, having them sort of relegated to that cinema, and that's where they sort of get discovered. And
they get sent down to the minors.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah.
So that's awesome. That's what I went with in a completely left-turned cast of British actors playing American cowboys in Mexican cinema. The end.
Nice. I like it. I love him. I know him most from Paul Thomas Anderson movies like Boogie Nights and Magnolia. He kind of does, I think, his best work there, and he's just a hell of a personality. So, yep, I love it.
I also liked him quite a bit in The Count of Monte Cristo. He played...
he was good in that.
He played the sort of the right-hand man of the main character, Jim Caviezel, in that one. Yeah, he's a talented actor. He's I think he started as a comedian and sort of got into serious acting, and then now he's just sort of all over the place.
Yeah. A good character actor. Yep.
Yes. And that's kind of what I was looking for. Joe Mantegna is a great character actor. I wanted somebody that would embody that, sort of make a character and make it its own. So,
yep.
Speaking of characters, the German is next.
The German.
Before we do that, I just want to just give a quick shout out to John Lovitz and Phil Hartman in cameos in that same scene. They're just great. Phil Hartman just shouts into a telephone and he's amazing, as he always is. So, yeah.
As always.
Poor Phil.
Poor one out.
Alas. All right. Sorry, Andy. I just wanted to get that out there.
Totally want to get bring it down before you...
Bring it down before the German.
The German is a gunrunner, a mercenary, a carrier of a pretty little gun. He is a kind-hearted man, unlike his comrades. He was originally played by Kai Wulff. In my remake, there's only one man who can play this role, and he is Fassbender.
Nice. Nice.
That's perfect. So, yeah.
I don't think I need to say anything else.
No, yep, you really don't.
Just Fassbender.
Fassbender.
Fassbender. The power of Fassbender compels us. That's true. I love it.
Mark, I believe you were telling us about El Jefe.
Yes, yes. Known as the Boss, Bruce Springsteen is an American rock and roll legend.
Wait a minute. Hold up.
Keep going.
What?
Wait, I think you went too literal.
I think that's brilliant that you picked Bruce Springsteen.
Oh, I see what's going on here. I had my internet flipped to English instead of Spanish.
Ah, that auto-translate will get you.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, El Jefe is El Guapo's right-hand man, and while not possessing of El Guapo's superior intellect and education, he is loyal and capable and is handy with a gun. A man's gun, not some little sissy gun. I actually just adore the original portrayal by Tony Plana. I thought that he was perfectly menacing when he needed to be, but his comedic timing was also impeccable, so it also felt kind of silly. And
very sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like you really, really got that loyal thing from him.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when, it presents the birthday gift of the sweater to El Guapo.
Yep.
In the Mexican desert. And I really actually struggled to find a similar balance of menacing and goofy and sweet. And in the end, I think I probably decided to abandon the menacing. because I really do want to focus on the silly. And I picked Fred Armisen.
Nice.
I mean, also, it's been a while since I've seen him in a mustache. And,
I love that.
Yep. That's fantastic. That's perfect.
Yeah.
He would... yes. Yep. That's all I can say. Yes.
He has a guest spot on Parks and Rec as a Venezuelan, and he's so funny in that.
Awesome.
I believe it. Yeah, he seems like he's just the king of cameos. He's in every one of his SNL friends' shows and just appearing here and there. He's I remember him showing up in the background of one of the live 30 Rocks where they did a flashback of Jack working a telethon, and then in the background, just slowly leaning over into the camera's view, is Fred Armisen, dressed as a woman, just staring blankly at the camera.
Awesome.
I just would love to see him in his glasses or in a pair of glasses, and then the giant, long, scraggly, unwashed hair wig.
The sombrero.
Mm-hmm.
With the sombrero.
It would be like Garth going as that character for Halloween.
Yes.
Oh, man.
good one. I love that, Mark. Oh, nice pick. Man.
Thank you. Okay, so let's move on to Lee.
Carmen, originally played by Patrice Martinez, is the messenger for her village and Lucky's love interest. Her love for her home and family motivates her to seek the amigo's help when both are threatened. Carmen is a, you know, perfectly likable character, maybe a tad naive, but, you know, willing to fight for her home. And I'm pretty excited that I get to cast this actress because I don't think I've cast her before. And I like her a lot. I think she's underutilized and underappreciated. I went with Sarah Shahi, who has, what I knew her most from was the show Life when it was on NBC, which she starred opposite Damian Lewis. She played an LA cop and just, you know, really fantastic actress. I think she was in a short-lived sitcom at one time. I think it was called Teachers or something like that. Wasn't a great show, but, you know, she was very good on it. And, I, you know, she's done a lot of TV work, Person of Interest, Chicago Fire. I think she was on The L Word. So, yeah, Sarah Shahi. I like her a lot.
Nice. Nice. Yeah, I don't know her, but she looks perfect for the part.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
So, I believe Kyle has something to say about El Guapo.
See, yeah, he does. I do. El Guapo is the leader of the bandits threatening Santo Poco. His name means the handsome, and while he doesn't at all live up to that title, he has a decent vocabulary and loves a good sweater. The original El Guapo was played by Alfonso Arau, who was perfect.
Oh, man.
I honestly didn't know how to do this role justice. He was menacing. I mean, going back to your description of Tony Plana for El Jefe, like he was menacing when he needed to be menacing. He was funny when he needed to be funny. He covered all of those bases really well. And I just for the life of me couldn't figure out how to do that with actors. So I went a little bit off course. I went with Michelle Rodriguez, who is a tremendously talented actress. She's had some trouble off screen, some run-ins with law, some jail time. But I think that she has an incredibly imposing presence. And I would love to see, again, kind of thinking about the reveal of the character, you know, you assume El Guapo is a man, but it doesn't have to be. So to have her be the lead of these banditos, so these are, you know, these rebels, I would love to see that. I think that would be great, and to have her presence there and leading over them would be awesome.
I'm a little bit concerned about the grammar in that, you know, El Guapo does indicate a man.
That makes it even perfect. That makes it even better.
But I mean, there's El Guapo. There are all sorts of ways to, you know, to write the story about that.
Right.
I'm a little bit curious how she can do funny, because I've never seen that. And you know, she's been around for a while and done a lot of roles, and pretty much all of them are hard asses.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
I think she can be, I think you, it would be the character that doesn't try to be funny, but ends up being funny because of what they say. You know what I mean? Like, I think you give her good dialogue and she has no idea that she's funny in what she says, but she just says the weirdest, strangest things, and everyone around her kind of has to not react out of total fear of her. I could see something like that. Like, it's not the presence that Alfonso Arau have, but I think you could write it in a way that you don't lose the strength of the character, but it's just a little bit different view of that. I don't know. Does that make sense?
That makes sense.
It's almost like you write this character as if they are not even in a comedy, like write it completely straight as a Mexican bandito.
Yep.
And just the fact that who she is will make it funny around her without her actually saying funny things.
Right. Let the absurdity kind of come through.
Yep. Right.
Yep.
And if she plays it that way too, it would be even funnier, because it just is like the comedy is going to happen around her and she's the ultimate straight, quote unquote, straight man.
Yep. Yeah. Exactly. Thanks for talking me through that. Yeah, that, I didn't quite know how it would be, but I sort of like sussed that out as we were talking about it here. So good character development session, guys. I like that. Good brainstorming. All right. So that wraps up the minor characters. And with that, this first part of our discussion of Three Amigos. The next episode will be released on June 30th, where we will be discussing the plot and filmmaking changes we would be making to the movie as well. To find out more information about this podcast or any other podcast on the Math is Hard Network, and to find show notes for this episode where you can find links to all of the actors, actresses, and movies discussed here, go to mathishard.net. And for the show notes, just check the Remakers Mark section. You can find us on both Twitter and Facebook at username mathishardnet, so feel free to give us some feedback there. We'll be discussing some great casting feedback given for this in part two. So, as always, gents, thanks for this. It was a wonderful time. Good hanging out. And until the next time, may the Force be with you.
And also with you.